Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Spiritual Excellence, a study of practical discipleship. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Excellence models a joyful generosity. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13 reads, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Notice verse 15 of the same proverb. "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Joy is contagious and will affect all our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, the apostle began a discourse on giving. "Now continuing the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready." He taught that joyful Christianity will be seen in the offerings. He used an agricultural picture. Look at verse 6. "But this I say, he who sows bountifully," or "he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." The principle of sowing to harvest ratio. There's another principle the apostle instructs about, and that is a willing heart. Verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Let's travel to the Old Testament, to the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Let's go to that work site. Let's see what's going on there. Exodus chapter 25 is where we want to go. Exodus 25, we want to read verses 1 through 9. "And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you," that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, "just so you shall make it." Did the people give? Did they? Listen to Exodus chapter 36, several chapters later. Chapter 36, verses 1 through 7. "And Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded." And then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord has put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from his work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment that they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. "No more offerings. Please don't give any more." Imagine that on a Sunday morning. "Because you gave so much the past few weeks, we are not going to take an offering today." Imagine the joy among the people. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. "And then I said to him, 'You see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon us, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to do this good work." Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the lull in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God." Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 again. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, speaking of those wise men that had come to the birth of Jesus. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let me give you some suggestions, four suggestions on how to express joyful generosity. First, reflect on God's gifts to you. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." Listen, do you have your needs met? Well, reflect on them. And second, remind yourself of God's promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 to 11. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, 'He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Listen, remind yourself and start releasing resources. And then third, examine your heart. Do I believe there's a need? Am I pressured? Or am I responding in love? Is my offering an appropriate expression of my income? Have I prayed? Is joy prompting me? Am I genuinely excited about what God is doing? Does generosity characterize my life? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. And then fourth, glorify God by being generous. John 3:16. You know? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Imagine the Father on Easter. Raised from the dead, that's my son. John 3:16. For God, the greatest giver, so loved the greatest motive, the world, the greatest need, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest invitation, believe in him, the greatest opportunity, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but have everlasting life, the greatest joy. Let me ask you, do you live in the source of endless joy in Christ? You think about that, you answer that, and you have a great day.